What up, people? It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast, and I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. It's your boy. I'm Chris the Don One, and welcome to another new episode, new label, new name. Everybody Hates Chris. Now, this podcast is going to be about, you know, things that done happen in my life. You can learn a thing or two from my stories. You can get your laugh on with some of my stories, but you won't make the same mistakes I did in these stories. As always, rate, comment, subscribe, share this podcast with your friends, family, and followers. Subscribe to me on Spotify. My podcast is also, you'll be able to listen to my podcast on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast indulgement. Let's get it cracking. Let's get it into today's story. And today's story is a doozy. I got catfished, okay, in my life. Okay, so let me tell y'all what transpired and what happened, all right? So peep this, all right? I was bouncing from job to job. You know, I was a bachelor, you know, living on my own. And I didn't treat jobs respectfully like I do now, all right? So I was just bouncing from job to job. I just really wanted a job to fit my lifestyle and to support my lifestyle. So a friend of mine told me about this job at this nightclub. Now, I told my friend, look, I don't want to be no bouncer or no security guard. He said, oh, no, don't peep this. It's just a good job. Basically, all you're doing is, you know, being there for like security, but you're not really a security guard. All right. Basically, you're just out and about. You're just making sure everyone is you know, having a good time. If anything pops off, you go tell the actual security guards. Okay. Now, I thought it was a good job. Okay. I liked the hours. The pay wasn't all that good, but it fit my lifestyle at that particular time. So when I started working there, I had my friend didn't really tell me the bad about this job. You know, everything in life, there's a good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, there's a lot of bad at this new job I went to. But, you know, nevertheless, I stayed there. It was more to it than just walking around and making sure everybody is having a good time. You know, if there's a cleanup on the floor, you'll have to clean it up. If there was something that need to be taken care of in the food area, you had to take care of that. If the restrooms was messed up, you would have to take care of that. I was basically doing all the stuff that no one else wanted to do at this job, which, by the way, with this new position I had, I wasn't getting paid like the security guards. The security guards, they took care of them. The bouncers, they took care of them. The bartenders, they took care of them. Hell, even the people in the kitchen, they sort of took care of. I was last on the bottom of the totem pole as far as being taken care of. But I kind of liked the job, fit my lifestyle. It wasn't a real good paying job, but I was saying to myself, you know, self, I could always get another job and just work two jobs. So working there, everything's all good in the hood. But the one thing I could not, even though I told you the bad about this job, the one great benefit about this job was the amount of women that would come in this establishment. Holy, it was all types of women. Okay. I was like a fat kid in a candy store. It was so many types of flavor of women that entered this nightclub. It was amazing. All right. So at that particular time, I didn't get my dribble right. Okay. I didn't have no good talk game. You know, my dribble was kind of off. You know, my clothing, you know, it was just average clothing. You know, I haven't upgraded my fashion yet, haven't built my portfolio, but I knew all I had to do. The one thing I was great at is making women smile and telling a joke or two and, you know, some casual conversations as long as I can do some casual conversations and keep her laughing, keep her smiling, that got me an opportunity to get a date, possibly get hooked up, you know, if you know what I'm saying, all right? So basically, everything's going fine, women galore, but like I said, I didn't have my dribble right, didn't have my game right. You know, the most I ever did to an attractive or a beautiful woman was just smile or say hello or compliment them on their outfit or just, and if I had to keep going, I had a couple of jokes along the way, but my dribble wasn't right, my talk game wasn't right, and I was shy as hell, which is a bad combination if you're going to be working at an establishment like this that's going to be full of attractive female. But I was feeling good about myself, you know, and I kept my standards. You know, I wasn't trying to, holler at someone that I felt like, you know, I didn't have the qualifications to try to talk to. I tried to talk to someone, you know, that I felt like if I felt a good vibe about you, then I'm going to talk to you. But if I felt like you didn't want to be bothered, or if I felt some negative energy, you know, I still smiled, but, you know, I just kept it pushing and just moved on. Well, there was this one girl, man, she was bad as fuck, man, I'm telling you. She was a shorty, had thick-ass thighs, slim waist, great titties. I mean, this girl was good. She looked very good. She was with her friends. It was like this tall, African-type, dark-skinned girl. And then there was another girl. She looked pretty decent. Didn't, you know, really get no vibes off of her. And then there was like, I guess, one of their friends. Because, you know, in the back of this group. But I wasn't really paying attention to none of the other three girls. I was paying attention to the short shorty with the thick thighs. Nice breasts. I mean, great hair. And I knew I had an opportunity and a chance with her. Because immediately, as we locked eyes, you know, she started to like what she was feeling. Started talking to her. She started talking to me. You know, every once in a while, we'll bump into each other unexpectedly or expectively by me. You know, I was very, you know, calculated on the opportunities I had. And I was still doing my job. Started talking. Next thing you know, I got her number. Okay. Been at this club for like 3 months. This was the first number I ever landed. All right. I talked to her one time during, you know, our conversations. And then all the other times we would text. And I was like, man, that's good. That's great for me. You know, I can be able to, you know, be able to just text her. Like she can, you know, send me a text and like I can just go to sleep, wake up middle of the day, respond to her text. You know, when she, in the morning time, she would be going to school. She went to TSU. And in the morning time during early afternoon, I would be mad sleep because like I said, I would be at the establishment all night long. So I would get my sleep in. So she would send me voicemails. I would call back. But when I would call back, you know, she was running errands, things of that nature. But it just seemed like to me when we really communicated the most through text. And that was a bit very beneficial to me because, like I said, my talk game wasn't right. My dribble wasn't right. I mean, I was good as a texter. All right, because I can just sit back and process what I actually want to say. You didn't have to process it on the fly, on the spot. I can just process what I wanted to say and just casual conversation and things of that nature. The only thing we talked about was that particular night when we would hook up, you know, and, you know, what she was doing in her day. Basically, the majority of the time we would text and at one time we interacted on the phone. It was what she was doing for the day. She would tell me that she's going to TSU to become a nurse. And, you know, I'm the type of brother, I'm a great listener, all right? I'm that type of a brother that would listen, all right? And the more you talk, that's the less I would have to start a conversation or engage in a conversation. Because like I said, my talk game wasn't all that good. My dribble game wasn't sharp, okay? But I was a great listener. You know, I just, you know, the things that I was good at was listening and replying at that particular time. I wasn't start the conversation type of guy. So we would text on and off, occasionally a couple of phone calls here and there. We could never, plan as far as going out, to a movie or to a club or anything like that. Like I said, she would be in school, then she'll be at work. So everything was fine for a week. And then after a week, I woke up one morning, she stopped texting. I'm like, oh man. So then I would text her back. And then she would reply, okay. She said, oh, my bad. This is my new number. You can text me at this new number. All right. So put the new number down on the phone. I tried to call her. She would never pick up the phone. And I just figured, she's busy. She's a college girl, plus she's probably working. I was making excuses, and us as men, we can all relate to what I'm about to say. We make excuses for people, especially when we're, we have like hope and aspirations of pursuing a woman even further, okay? Or whatever, even further. We'll just make up excuses. She's busy. She's at work. She's running errands. No big deal. So I could never get her on the phone, but I could. She was crazy mad texting, all right? And she would text frequently. And the conversations would range, she would be engaging in conversation. And then at one point, she started asking me questions. And it was almost to the sense of, man, she is really digging me, okay? At that particular time, I'm thinking that she's digging me, all right? But it was almost to the sense, and I had this eerie sense in the back of my mind, like, it's almost like this is a totally different girl. She's more interesting. She's communicating a lot more. She even asking me questions. So life was good for about 3 or 4 days. And then one day she texts me. She says, I got a question I need you to answer seriously. And I'm like, what's up? And I said, you want to talk about it? You want to get on the phone? She said, nah, I can't get on the phone right now. Once again, someone that's hopelessly in lust, not in love, just hoping that we get the opportunity to smash. I'm making excuses for her. So I'm going like, all right. So let me, we continue to text. So I said, what's the message? She said, well, you promised me, don't get mad. Promise that you're not going to stop texting me or anything like that. And I'm going like, what's the dealio? I mean, what's the problem? Okay. So, and I'm still thinking visually in my mind, the last time I saw her, which was at the club. All right. And I'm like, all I'm thinking about is just smashing at this point, all right? I don't care about, this, that, and the third. I was interested in smashing her, okay? I was a hopelessly smashing in lust type of guy, okay? Desperately, all right? So I'm like, okay, what's going on? She finally replied back. These couple of days are amazing and this, that, and the third. I just want to continue to, be around you or talk to you and things of that nature. But I have a secret, and I'm going like, oh man, is she going to tell me she's married? I'm thinking the worst. Is she going to tell me she's married? She's going to tell me that, she already had a boyfriend, maybe a girlfriend, or maybe she's pregnant. Maybe, she got pregnant by her ex-dude don't want her, and now she's looking for an instant daddy, okay? And I'm going like, oh my God, I'm thinking the worst, okay? The worst of the worst, all right? And my brain, I'm not thinking with my logical part of the brain, I'm just thinking and with the tinfoil hat speculation part of the brain, okay? So I'm going like, all right, just give it to me, all right? Just tell me. And then she told me that this whole time I've been texting her, you are not texting the girl that you met at, and I forgot the girl's name. I think her name was Natalie, the one that I got the phone number from originally from the club. And I said, you're not texting her. She basically is not interested in you and this, that, and the third. You know, she set me down gently. And in some retrospect, as I was thinking about it, I'm going like, you know, at least, you know, she gave me an opportunity and I just missed on the opportunity. So I'm going like, yo, well, who I've been texting all this time, you know, for the past couple of days. And then she told me her name. She told me her name was LaToya. And I'm thinking, okay, LaToya. I don't remember or recall anybody LaToya. So I started thinking, okay, is it that tall African girl? You know, she was all right, but I wasn't feeling her that way. Was it her other friend that was with her? You know, she was okay, but she wasn't as bad as Natalie. I thought Natalie was the best one out of the foursome. And then I said, oh, snap, foursome. I don't recall even remember the fourth girl, okay? And I'm thinking, you know, it was too dark. Maybe I wasn't interested in her. I really didn't even heart. At this point, the fourth girl, I have no recollection of what she looks like. I don't even, we never had a conversation, anything of that nature. And I'm going like, oh, snap. I'm hoping, so I reply back to her text. I said, are you the tall, dark-skinned girl? She replies back, no. I'm like, okay, process of elimination. It's not Natalie. It's not the tall girl, the tall black girl. I said, well, are you the girl that was next to Natalie on the left? She said, reply back, no. I'm going like, oh. I done struck out three times. It's not Natalie. It's not the tall joint girl, the African girl. And it wasn't the girl right next to her. I'm going like, oh my God. So I'm thinking maybe it's her roommate. Maybe she left my number on a nightstand or somewhere in the dorm. And her roommate has been texting me for quite some time. I said, well, are you and Natalie our roommates? I said, maybe, you know, we never met. And I don't mind, you know, trying to get to know you. So I said, well, maybe are you her roommate? She says, no, I live two floors down from Natalie. So I'm going like, how in the hell did she get her number? I said, so Natalie just gave you my number, you know, and. What was it? Was it a joke? Was it, you know, why would she do that? Why would she give my number to somebody I have never met before? And she said, no, you met me. I was in the club. And then I said, oh, snap, it's the fourth girl. But I didn't remember the fourth girl. I mean, I never interacted with the fourth girl. I never, you know, had any contact with her. I don't even know what she looked like. All right. So I said, all right, cool. So I don't know what she looks like. We never had any conversations. So I reintroduced myself. Hey, I'm Chris, and you are. And we started talking. We started having conversations, all right? Texting on the phone. Now, she did get the stones to finally call me. Sounds very sweet. Innocent, you know, type of girl. But every time we would talk about what she looked like, because I'm going like, okay, so you know who I look like, but I don't know how you look like. Can you send me a picture? She'll make excuses why, you know, like her camera didn't, her phone didn't, was messed up, and her camera on her phone wasn't, you know, working well. And at that time, I'm hopelessly in lust at that particular time. And I didn't use my my actual brain, all right? I was still in the tenfold tin hat side of my brain. And realistically, all I had to do, if I was thinking correctly, I knew her name. I just type it up on Facebook. I can go on Instagram. I can find out who exactly this girl was. But at that particular time, I wasn't even on that lane of the street. I wasn't even on that side of the road. All right. So I started thinking and imagining who she could be, who she actually is. So we're, you know, talking, texting for like, you know, less than a month. I'm going like, yo, you know, let's, you know, go out, go to the dinner, go to a movie, you know, maybe go to the park. She's saying like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, let's go to the park. So, I said, cool. I said, at that time, I did not have no transportation. The only way I was getting around was public transportation, which was the bus, or, you know, I was hoofing it, all right? So, I had no transportation. When I told her that, hey, let's go out, that's when reality set in, going like, whoa, wait, Chris, you don't even have a car. How are you going to take her anywhere? You don't even have a car. You don't have any means to a car. I mean, why would you suggest let's go to the movies, let's go out to eat, let's go to the park, but you don't have any, you don't even have a car? And let's think about this second. Just think about this for a second, Chris. You tell her you want to go out, and she says, cool, when you gonna pick me up? How you gonna straighten this? All right. So are you gonna just tell her that you don't have a car, and then now you put a kibosh in this whole thing? Now you got two girls that are don't wanna holler at you, whatever. So I was saying to myself, I had to make up an excuse real fast, real quick. Like, yo, so I told her, I said, so I text her back. I said, so what you gonna be driving? So maybe you can come pick me up. And I'm, you know, crossing my fingers. I'm thinking like, I hope I didn't run her off. I hope I didn't scare her. You know, because, you know, I really want this to work. I'm hopelessly in lust, not in love. You know, maybe this girl is like better than Natalie, you know, because I don't know of her. And, you know, I was still thinking of Natalie, even when we was texting and calling. I had Natalie's face and body describing her. So she said, yo, we could, I can come pick you up. She told me she had a purple Dodge. It was a purple Dodge something. And she was going to pick me up at this park. And I said, cool. All right. So I'm up there waiting at the park. You know, I called two buses to get to Centennial Park. All right. Finally get there. She told me to wait around the library. I'm waiting around the library. I'm looking for a purple tinted Dodge. I forgot the actual car name. And I'm looking around. And then here she comes. She pulls up in a purple tinted Dodge. She pulls up. So I'm walking, you know, I'm walking to the passenger side. Doors unlocked. I open the door. And man, when I saw her, she did not look like Natalie. She did not look like Natalie. She did not even look like the tall, light-skinned African girl. She didn't even look like the girl that I really didn't have no conversation with, but I knew what she looked like, but I just don't know her name. She looks like a Natalie, all right? She really did. She was wider than outside. This girl was big, all right? You know, had a gut. has some big ass titties. So I'm going like, okay, look, I'm thinking in the back of my head, I didn't say what I didn't say this because I didn't want to scare her off. You know, she had a below decent face, some big ass titties, got some good, had a big ass on her. Knew she had a big ass on her, but she was not Natalie. She was not Natalie. She's probably swallowed Natalie as well as her two other friends. All right. So I'm thinking, okay, why not? Okay, what are the options, Chris? I mean, it's not like you got a black book of endless possibilities of endless women, all right? You're not internationally known. You're not even state known. Your dribble game is off. Your talk game is off. Why? Let's just take a plunge in it, okay? Literally, let's take a plunge in it, all right? Get in the car. And the way how we was talking and texting on the phone was the exact same way how we were talking in the car. And that was, you know, very comfortable, very familiar. It was like, I just knew her, even though when I first got Latoya's number, she's not Latoya, not by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, Natalie was cool. And we went out and I said, you know what, why not? So we went to eat. You know, everything was cool and things of that nature. And, you know, from that day on, we started talking more frequently on the phone. So Natalie was digging me. Okay. She was digging me. All right. I was sort of digging her, but, you know, like I said, I didn't have no other options. And as the days and weeks went on, I started to build a fatuation for Natalie, okay? Because, man, I was hornier than a corn dog, okay? I wanted to pop something, okay? I wanted to pop something, and I was desperate at this time, all right? You know, like I said, there was nothing else available for me, all right? Because of what I just mentioned. But, you know, Natalie, as I found out, she was a Christian girl. She came from a church setting type of family. You know, her family was very religious and she was a homebody. Her father wouldn't let her go out and, you know, hang out with her friends or sleepovers or anything like that. And she said, she was telling me, I didn't discover a lot of things like parties and guys until I came to TSU. She was originally from Denver, Colorado, okay? So she got a scholarship to go to TSU. And she was telling me how her family was strict. They didn't allow her to have boyfriends. And if she did have a boyfriend, they would have to, you know, they would never be able to come into the house. And, you know, it was just hard on her as a kid. And so she's, a lot of the stuff when we were kids, we discovered when we was teenagers, she's trying to refigure this stuff out in college life. Okay. She didn't know how parties work or things of that nature. And she, you know, just like I said, she was very sheltered. All right. So we would talk and talk and talk. And the one thing I know about Natalie is Natalie was a freak. Okay. She was a super freak. So the conversation sex came up, and it really came up because I wanted it to come up because I was desperate. All right. So I said, well, what about your sex life? I mean, what's your body count, you know, and all this stuff. So, you know, first she was embellishing a little bit. Come to find out that she never been with a guy before, never had sexual relationships with a guy because, like I said, her parents were strict, so she didn't have those opportunities. And even with 1 year at TSU, you know, just a lot of guys never came up to her as far as being in a sexual relationship or being romantic with her. You know, she's like, she's under the radar. She's a, you know, She's a homebody. She just goes to the school dorm. School dorm, occasionally go to the grocery store. And that was the first time she ever went to a nightclub. And I'm going like, okay. So, you know, she started to trust me more. And she would, you know, tell me her you know, thoughts and her aspirations and things of that nature. But she really had a kinky, freaky side. She talk about, I said, like, if we would have sex, where would you like to have sex? And she said, on top of the car in the rain. And I could clearly tell that she never had sex before, and I was going to be her first. Okay, so we made arrangements to orchestrate having sex. All right, first we tried to do it in her car. It was very difficult to do it in her car because, you know, she was a little bit bigger. The car wasn't that big enough for us to move around and things of that nature. So I told her, well, let's just get a hotel. All right. And originally she was going to get the hotel on her own. I said, nah. I'm going to get the hotel. All right. Because I felt like that was the right thing to do. All right. Even though I wanted it, but I knew she wanted it even more. So we got a hotel. And man, let me tell you something, she was very inexperienced at sex. She didn't know, she had an idea what sex was, but she never been in a sexual relationship, okay? She knew how to kiss and hug, but when it comes to actually having sex, she had no clue what she was doing. But she was so shy, she didn't want to tell me because she thought I would be scared and run off. So I would say, look, judging by your interactions with me thus far, I know that this is new to you. But, you know, if you trust me, I would, I'll be gentle. And I will show you what to do and things of that nature. So I'm going like, all right, cool. So that night, it was a very experienced night. It wasn't really sexually pleasing for me. And that was because, you know, I'm not saying I was super, super experienced, but I had experiences in having an active sexual lifestyle, but you know, she didn't. So it was like pretty much figuring out how to ride a bike. And it was basically trial and error. But basically, you know, after an hour, well, I say after 20 minutes, 30 minutes of explaining things and, you know, getting her to understand certain things, that's when we started actually having sex. And let me tell y'all something. When I went down on her, this was the first time I went down on a female. And it just did not feel right. It didn't even smell right. You know, women's coochie, you know, it's got this unique smell to it. And at first, when you go down on a woman, it's a smell that you never smelled before, but you get used to the smell. It's not a bad smell. It's just, you know, coochie smell. And her coochie, oh my God, it was like bacon bits. It's like she just washed and drenched her coochie with bacon bits. And I'm going like, oh my God. It was like bacon bits and yeast. Bacon bits and yeast. I don't know what she washes with her coochie. I don't know why it just smells so differently. Now later I come to find out that, you know, her being a big woman and having so much skin and having, you know, a bigger body, you know, the aroma on a big person is a little bit It's a little bit, the funk marinates a lot on a bigger person. I did not know this until later on, all right? But anyway, so I would basically, we would get active and get familiar. And basically, was he talking to me? I don't think he was talking to me. Anyway, so we would, I lost my train of thought. So we had sex, all right? And at that time, it was amazing. But at that time, I didn't have that many sexual experiences, all right? I thought it was amazing. But later on in life, when you look back at things, it was okay, all right? We did it a couple of times after that. And then something with her grades or whatever, she went back home, all right? So she had to go back home because, I mean, she wasn't doing too well in school. And she all of a sudden, she's not living at the dorm. She's going to another school. But at that time, we, you know, was lost in translation. I didn't really, we started to text less and less, call less and less. And basically, it just felt like the connection was lost at that particular time, you know. And from that, from our first experience of having sex, and we had sex twice, you know, I was bouncing from job to job. I wasn't working at that that nightclub no more because, yeah, it benefited me with my lifestyle, but it wasn't really paying that well. So I had to get another job. So it was, this job wasn't at late at night. It was early in the morning. And it was around time that, it was the same time when she would go to school. And I'm going like, well, it's no big deal. While I'm at work, she's in school. All right. And then we can hook up later on in the afternoon. I thought this would be very beneficial to the both of us. Okay. So, like I said, she stopped, you know, I started calling her. She wouldn't answer her phone. I would text her. She wouldn't respond. I'm going like, well, what's going on? Well, you know, I wasn't thinking of it as we was in a relationship. I was just thinking that it was a sexual type relationship. And I just moved on. All right. Because I thought that she moved on. So I'm up here working and things of that nature. Life is good. And I had the same number. And then she called me like 8 months after our last conversation. And I'm going like, yo. At first, I forgot who she was. All right. Luckily, I had her name saved in my phone. So she called me and I was, you know, I don't know what I was doing. I picked up the phone. And I'm going like, and I'm acting like I didn't know who it was. And I'm like, hello. And she says, yo, it's Natalie. And then I'm going like, oh, yo, what's up? How you doing? And then, you know, we started catching up on what we was doing. She was telling me, like I said earlier, she done transferred to a different school. You know, she's seeing somebody else. This is like a real serious relationship. And I didn't get upset or nothing like that because, you know, we didn't have no relationship. It was more like we was both trying to get what we want and we was in lust. And she was telling me that she went back to church. She's more religious. She's, you know, and things of that nature. And I'm saying good for her. And I was really, welcoming it. It was okay with me. She seemed like she was in a good place. She done transferred to another college. You know, she's seeing somebody else. If it's somebody else, then possibly this could lead into them actually getting married. And then, life was good for Natalie. So I didn't hate on that. You know, I'm still, you know, realistically, hindsight being 50-50, you know, I'm still trying to figure my life out. And she already done figured her life out. Plus, she's got a future down the road, okay? She's going to graduate pretty soon. Life is good for her, all right? So I'm going like, well, that's nice. That's, you know, and I'm complimenting her and things of that nature. And at that point, I shifted from being, you know, someone that was trying to get their freak on and elevating into a friendship, okay? And it was like a friendship. And I said, well, you know what? You can call me anytime if you want to, yada, yada, yada. I kind of miss, you know, our conversations, but I'm so happy for you and things of that nature. I was saying, you know, and a lot of stuff that I was saying, I really meant it, okay? Because I was just worried about her. So then she would go, and she was saying like, yeah, you too, you do the same, okay? Then she asked about me, how I was doing, and I was saying, you know, I'm the same old, you know, I'm bounced. I got me another job. I'm not working at that nightclub no more. I was telling her, I was thinking about going into school, going to college. I figured out a major, you know, and she's saying, that's good. And she was telling me about college and, you know, if I would go to college, I told her I would not apply for no scholarships, but she told me some programs, some scholarship programs I could possibly qualify for. And the worst case scenario, she said, you can do financial aid. I didn't know the mechanisms of financial aid. She knew all that. She really took care of me to the next level in my life, which was going to college. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, life was good and stuff. So she was saying, hey, you want to come see my new place? I'm like, yeah, cool. I don't want to intervene or I don't want your boyfriend to get upset. She said, it's no big deal. He knows everything about me. He knows about us. I'm going like, okay, cool. So I go up. So she told me where she lived. And I drove up there, you know, from that point on, I got me a car. It was an old beat up car, but it was my car. It was my ish. I didn't have a car note or nothing. So I'm driving up there, right? So I come to the address, a nice house, beautiful house. It was like one of those two-story houses. I walk in. When you walk in, the living room is plush. It was like the living room, and in the back of the house, it was the kitchen, and upstairs was the bedroom, and she was giving me a tour and all that stuff, and she was telling me how, you know, everything was all good in the hood with her and things of that nature. You know, y'all gotta realize, in that time frame, it was quite normal for people to entertain people or people going to other people's houses without worrying about getting jumped on or being robbed or anything like that. It's, you know, it was a special time that time, okay? So, yeah, so I was, you know, mesmerized with the house. You know, they got pictures all over the wall. You know, I saw her husband in the picture, well, her boyfriend in the picture. He, you know, I see why they are joint to the hip, why they are feeling one another, because they're both passionately in love with religion. They got Bible quotations everywhere. Life was good. And then we sat down in the living room. She turned the TV on and we were just catching up on, you know, what's been going on with the both of us. And, you know, like I said, we did most of that on the telephone. So she got into details about what she's been doing for the past couple of months. And, you know, by this time, but, you know, she's telling me what's going on, that I trying to catch me up to speed. I'm likewise, but it didn't take me that long for her to catch up because, you know, like I said, I wasn't really doing anything. All right. So we up here talking. We had a couple of shots of wine. And then we started talking about, remember when we got that motel and we had sex and then we had sex again. I'm going like, yeah, that was, man. And then, you know, I wouldn't say we was tipsy, but we let our guards down. And she said, man, that was the first time she ever had sex with a guy. And I told her, you know, well, yours like that's my third experience of having sex with a woman. And I was, you know, and she was telling me that she was, you know, she didn't know what to do. She said, basically, if it wasn't for that experience, if we didn't have that opportunity, I would have never met my boyfriend that's soon to be my husband, because I was so shy. I didn't know how to interact around men. And I was saying to myself, even if I get into a long-term relationship with a guy, I wouldn't know how to please the guy. So in a way, she said that basically she glad that we met. But as she kept talking, she started talking about the only real reason why we got connected, we had a sexual relationship, was because she was experimenting, because she was, you know, wanting to interact with a guy that she had no strings attached to. And I'm going like, what? Okay. So I said, man, okay, so this whole time, you know, when we was together, it wasn't because we was together because you liked me. It was because we were together because you wanted to, try out you wanted to have some type of sexual experience with a guy. So basically she was using me, but it was using me in a good way. Now, you know, if she would have told me this when we first met, it wouldn't have bothered me none. But I was kind of, I felt a little bit betrayed, and it was like, you're just using me like a test, like a crash dummy, pretty much, all right? But, you know, like, I had wine in me. I didn't give a shit at that point. I was like, all right, so, we moved on to the conversation. And at the end, and like I said in the beginning, I was hopelessly in lust and with her. We didn't want no serious relationship or anything like that, right? So I understood. It's just I was in my feelings at that time, because it was so much time in between us getting together. I started to develop some feelings for her when we were no longer talking, and I was getting kind of worried. And then there was a lot of weird thoughts in my head that she could actually be my girlfriend. All right. But sometimes in life, the stuff that's actually important, you don't put that in front of you. You just put in front of you how it's going to benefit you instead of what this person actually means to you. And I learned that for myself. But, you know, I just chucked it up to, okay, really, we was in a sexual relationship, nothing more, nothing less. So yeah, we went back and forth, and then we straightened and ironed out a lot of stuff. She had some concerns for me that was later ironed out. I had some concerns for her that was ironed out, and we was cool with it. We was fine with it. At the end of the day, what happened happened. You know, those interactions with me led her to a guy. They're talking about getting married. She being more religious and things of that nature. And as far as me, you know, I got the benefit of actually having sex with somebody. And actually, the next time I'm in a relationship, I would know how to please my woman, even though this is the third attempt. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I know what works and what don't work in the bedroom. Plus, I'm starting to build my game up, my dribble up, and how to actually talk to a woman. So in actuality, we were crash dummies for each other, all right? She was a crash dummy for me. I was a crash dummy for her, okay? So, like I said, you know, we're drinking, and then all of a sudden, you know, and this is the first time she was more aggressive. She said, you know what, we'll top this day off if we actually had sex one more time, with the understanding that we're not going to have it again. So I said, cool, but, you know, and I was still horny at that time, and I didn't understand the parameters of what an actual relationship is. I just thought relationships were like what I saw in the movies and television and on porn. You know, if you have sex with somebody, it doesn't mean anything. If you interact with somebody, it doesn't mean anything. You know, relationships, to me, my definition of a relationship is, if a woman wants to be tied down to you and you want to be tied down to this woman, it's going to happen, right? So that was my building foundations of what a relationship is. Now, later on in life, other stuff start to apply and relationship is more complex than what I thought it was. All right. But at that particular time, I thought it was simple. Okay. So I said, okay, cool. We had sex and it was not the best. I mean, once again, it was a little bit better than the two previous times, but it still wasn't the best sex. And at that particular time, my dribble was right, okay? At that particular time, I started interacting with more females, all right? So I started being more selective in actually having sexual relationships with other women. So I didn't mind doing it and things of that nature, but it was okay. I just thought it was just an interaction. At that particular time, I thought sex was just how human beings communicated with their bodies. I disrespected how being sexually active was. I was totally reckless in how sexual interaction was. I just thought it was just casual at that time. Okay. I thought that you wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings with having sex or develop feelings when having sex. Okay. So I wasn't under the influence of how I feel about sex now. But to me, I thought sex was totally, just an activity. And then later on in life, I figured out it's much more deeper than that. There's levels to it and things of that nature. And when I left that house, I knew I would never see her again. I would never see her again. She tried to call back and text, months after that. I would never respond because I was engaging in other women. And I would like to think she understood why I never responded. And I don't know nothing about Natalie after the fact. I'm assuming they got married. I'm assuming they got kids. They probably don't live in that house. I don't think they live there anymore. They probably moved to another state. And I think life is good for Natalie. Okay. And I think she helped me in my sexual experiences, and I helped her in her sexual experiences. And, I don't feel any regret. And I'm just saying this from the outside looking in. I don't think she feels any regret. And I feel like this was a relationship that really benefited both of us. Okay. Even though there was no strings attached, and how we got together, it was kind of unorthodox. I didn't know who she was in the nightclub because I wasn't paying attention to who she was in the nightclub. And hindsight being 50-50, even though it was unorthodox, I think low-key, that was the best sexual experience that I've heard from anybody in a long, long time. Okay, that, because nobody feelings got hurt. Nobody didn't get what they wanted out of this relationship. And if hindsight being 50-50, she's, got her degree and she's probably got kids, a white picket fence, back into religion, and with her husband. When I first met her, she wasn't even talking about going to church or reading the Bible or anything like that. We never had conversations like that. It was more, what we were doing and lust type of talk through text and through phone. And now she's elevated and, she's, I feel like it was very beneficial for her. It was very beneficial for me. And we moved on. She moved on. I moved on. And life is good. All right. No regrets. I don't think there's any regrets on her side. There's definitely not no regrets on my side. And that wraps up this story. I'd like to thank everyone who stayed all the way through this story. please, if you listen to me on Spotify, there's a questionnaire at the end of this episode. And I'm going to ask you a question. Did you listen to the whole entire episode? I'm going to say yes or no. And I'd like for you guys to vote and tell me, did you listen to this whole episode? I hope everyone learned a thing or two from this episode. Like people who listen to this episode haven't even had a sexual experience. Okay, trying to figure it out. This story lets you know that, you know, if you stick with it, you know, you'll figure things out and life is going to be good for you. And but at the same time, having sex, there's consequences and repercussions. Be very protective. Guys, wear a condom. Women, birth control and other pregnant-proof devices and things of that nature. Don't treat sex disrespectfully like we did. Be proactive. Treat it with all the respect that it needs, because, you know, being sexually active, you welcoming in, possibly a child, and make sure that you're being checked. Make sure you're not, you know, no diseases or anything like that. But, you know, this story was to inform you, we took a lot of risk. At that time when we did it, we didn't look at the risk. We didn't look at getting pregnant. We didn't look at sexual diseases and things of that nature. We was just in lust, okay? And this story, I hope you learn a thing or two from this story, that, you know, you have to be very respectful and very serious about being sexually active. So I hope you guys learn a thing or two from this story. Feel free to hit the subscription button. Share this content with your friends, family, as well as your followers. And like I said, there's a questionnaire at the end. I'm just going to simply entitle it, did you listen to the whole entire episode? Yes or no. Okay. So I will see you guys next Wednesday. All my newest episodes. It's the same podcast. I just changed it. Same host. I just changed it. And I changed what I'm going to actually talk about on these podcasts. For the people that's been subscribed to me day one since One Man, One Mic Podcast, I'm Chris Adon One Podcast, and now Everybody Hates Chris Podcast. Welcome to my day ones. Welcome to my new audience. If you just now found this podcast and you're subscribed to it, welcome, welcome, welcome. There's links at the bottom of the description below of my other social media profiles. Please subscribe there. Subscribe and enjoy. You will not be disappointed. Not by the least. I will see you guys next Wednesday with another story of Everybody Hates Chris. All right. So I'm up out of here. Deuces, folks. Deuces.